Well, good evening and welcome to the Glasgow City Free Church Christmas Carol Service. Usually we call this What's So Special About Christmas? I think in 2020 we desperately need there to be something very special about Christmas. This morning we talked of how Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever walks in him does not walk in darkness. And so this year, as we engage in singing carols and rejoicing in the birth of Jesus, we rejoice in the light in the darkness, and we love following him. We're going to begin as we sing together in Psalm 95 from verse 1 to 7.
Come, let us joyfully sing to the Lord.
After this, I'm going to pray, and the whole service will just roll on without me.
Let's stand.
Let us pray. We have begun our service of worship this evening, O Lord, by singing to your praise, by calling you the rock of our salvation, by talking of how the earth's deepest places you hold in your hand, which makes it so amazing and so marvelous that we are focusing tonight on you, the God who emptied himself and became a child born in a stable and laid in a manger, holding the earth's deepest places in your hand and yet being held in the arms of his mother Mary. And Lord Jesus, we lift you up this evening. We exalt you. We praise you. You are the reason, the motive, and the object of all our praise and all our worship. And we trust in you. We love you because you first loved us. We confess our sins to you, those ways in which we have not loved you as we ought to have done and not loved our neighbor as we have loved ourselves. We thank you that, O Lord, you sent your Son to give himself on the cross for us so that our sins may be forgiven. The greatest gift under that Christmas tree isn't a present from Santa, but the Lord Jesus Christ given on the cross for us. And so, Lord, we pray that you be with us tonight. Thank you that we can celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming, the true light in the middle of this dark COVID winter. Bless us, O Lord, and lift up our spirits, we pray, because we desperately need our spirits lifted. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
The coming of Jesus foretold to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 2 and 6 to 7. But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it, with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Our second reading tonight comes from Micah chapter 5, from verses 2 to 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, He shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. He shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of his name, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace.
The birth of Jesus foretold to Mary, Luke 1:26-38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is a sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
So an angel appears to Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and line of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who is with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Thank you. Far also, you may or may not be aware that most of these carols we're singing or that we're listening to being sung have actually been put together by you. You've actually contributed your voices and your instruments to them, and they sound absolutely superb. I found myself being very emotional during that last hymn, Away in a Manger, because I heard the sound of our children singing, which we haven't heard in this building now for, well, since March. So it was lovely to hear you. On the first day of Christmas, my true love said to me, "A partridge in a pear tree." Since 1780, we've been singing the English Christmas carol, The 12 Days of Christmas. My challenge to the young folk here is, can you remember what my true love sends to me on each of the 12 days of Christmas? Traditionally, Western Christians celebrated 12 days of Christmas, beginning on Christmas Day, 25th of December, and stretching all the way through to Epiphany on the 6th of January. They represent the birth of Christ on Christmas Day to the visit of the wise men at the Epiphany. Eastern Christians celebrate Christmas Day on the 25th of December, but for them, Epiphany represents the baptism of Christ on the 6th of January. Now, these days, we're not really going in for the 12 days of Christmas. Judging by how early some people started putting their Christmas trees up, it would seem to be more of the 120 days of Christmas variety. Well, never mind, as long as we get to the heart of the message of Christmas. It's not about trees and turkey, really. It's about the greatest gift ever given to mankind. The gift of Jesus Christ, of an infant born of the Virgin Mary in a stable and laid in a manger. Never mind 11 pipers piping. Never mind 8 maids a-milking. I usually buy my milk not from maids, but from Morrison's. What's important to me as a Christian is the central message of Christmas, the gift of Jesus, sent to save a sinful world and rescue it from darkness. However, let's use at least part of the 12 days of Christmas as an introduction to Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, and its story of the birth of Jesus. After all, the passage begins with the words, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way." And I want us to consider together for a short time the 4 days of Christmas with reference to the 4 characters in this story. On the first day of Christmas, a mighty angel. On the second day of Christmas, a righteous man. On the third day of Christmas, a blessed virgin. On the fourth day of Christmas, a glorious Savior. On the first day of Christmas, a mighty angel. A mighty angel. In the Bible, angels are not cuddly and cute. They are powerful, spiritual creatures. Whenever they appear, the humans to whom they appear are filled with awe and fear. Remember that all that separates you from the angels tonight is the curtain of this created order, and that at a moment's notice, God could draw back that curtain. The sight you would see of all the angels would bring you to your knees in awe and fear. Well, in our passage, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream. We're not told what that angel looked like, because what was important was his message. Did you know that the word angel just means messenger? For as mighty and as glorious as the angel is, the message from God is far more important than the messenger of God. This angel serves one purpose: not to draw attention to himself, but to deliver the message God has given him to speak. He is gloriously impressive, and yet he is interested in only one thing: faithfully delivering the message God has given him to speak. And this is the first gift of Christmas. God has a message for you. God has a word for you this Christmas. The God against whom we have sinned is not sulking in silence. The God against whom we have sinned loves us and speaks through the angel. The great Christian thinker Francis Schaeffer wrote a famous book with the title, "He is there and he is not silent." God has a message for Joseph, and he uses an angel to deliver it. "You shall call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins." The message is about Jesus.
this Christmas, remember, God has spoken. An angel came to deliver a message from God to Joseph concerning the birth of our Savior Jesus. Heaven is not silent. It never has been. God has spoken. So for all the sensuality of Christmas, the sights, the sounds, and the smells, do not forget the spirituality of Christmas, that the God of heaven and earth has spoken. And if his message was important enough to be delivered by a mighty angel, then surely it's important enough for us to listen. On the first day of Christmas, a mighty angel. On the second day of Christmas, a righteous man, a righteous man. In the story of the Nativity, Joseph is rather like the angel. He does not draw attention to himself. The text tells us that he was betrothed to Mary. They were engaged to be married. In the world of Joseph's day, engagement was all but marriage. But before they were officially married, Mary fell pregnant. In the world of Joseph's day, this was an outrageous thing. It was a severe betrayal of social order. Those who knew them would have been shocked. If Joseph was the father of the child, then he was disgraced. If someone else was the father of the child, Mary was disgraced. But let's face it, this kind of thing's been going on since time immemorial. All of our family trees have skeletons in the cupboard. Yes, make no mistake, Mary's pregnancy was a disgrace for a righteous man, a fine, upstanding member of the community like Joseph. And yet, because of what the angel told him, Joseph knew that Mary had not been unfaithful to him, but that this child was of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph knew that he could no longer go on with the prior plans he had to end this engagement quietly. And it's here we see the righteousness of this man, Joseph, shining through. Because on account of the message the angel delivers to him, Joseph was willing to stand by Mary and endure the disgrace and the shame. He was willing to endure the mocking sneers and the hurtful jibes of those who cast aspersions on him and his wife. Here's true faithfulness to God. When the world is against you on account of sticking by Christ, but you're determined to stand by him and not betray him, however much it costs you. That's true righteousness. When you obey God rather than men, and when the gospel of Jesus Christ is more important to you than the opinions of the world around you. There may be some among us who, because we are finding it hard to endure the mocking jibes and the hurtful sneers of those who are laughing at our faith in Christ, there may be some of us who perhaps are going backward in our faith, are in our minds anyway thinking of putting Christ away and of returning to the world. Before we move away from this second day of Christmas, if you're in this position, you need to ask Joseph, Joseph, was standing by Mary worth it? Was obeying the message of the angel worth it? Was being faithful to God worth it? And he would tell you it was 100 times over. Because he became the adoptive father of Jesus, the Savior of the world, the incubator and provider of his childhood. All the hurtful jibes and mocking sneers were worth it because he was rewarded by having Jesus as his adoptive son. Nothing in this world can compare with the reward of Jesus and his glorious presence in our lives. Nothing. On the first day of Christmas, a mighty angel On the second day, a righteous man. On the third day of Christmas, a blessed virgin. A blessed virgin. Mary's a fascinating person. So fascinating that she has occupied the minds of Christians from the very earliest times. Some have made far too much of her, referring to her as the Queen of Heaven and all but making an idol of her. Others have made far too little of her, for fear that they may be accused of Mariolatry. Without a doubt, there's something very special about her, which is why, following the present-day Reformed theologian Douglas Kelly, I'm happy to refer to her as the Blessed Virgin. Christmas without her is unthinkable. Whatever disgrace Joseph would have been exposed to, her disgrace would have been much more. One can almost imagine the comments which would have been directed her way. But what's amazing, and what's absolutely miraculous, is that with no human intervention whatsoever, our text tells us, the virgin conceived and gave birth to a son. The miracle was the conception, you see. Such a conception is humanly impossible, but of course we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, as Hannah read to us, nothing is impossible to God. God blessed her by implanting within her, by the power of the Holy Spirit, a holy child. And she, not a passive participant, a surrogate mother, but rather that this child should bear her genetic code. Jesus, in every way, a son of his mother. And as such, she is to be honored. Something very special about Mary. She became the bearer of Jesus. The ancient Christians called her Theotokos, the bearer of God. And even though Matthew records so little about her, we know that she was a willing servant of God. For these 9 months, the Son of God was living and growing within her. She was the incubator of his grace. And as such, she submitted herself to the ignominy of giving birth in a stable and laying her newborn child in a manger. She submitted herself to the will of God, which is that as God's people, we're here to serve and not to be served. Just think, in her womb grows the Savior of the world, the Word made flesh, the glory of God. And there in the safety of her womb, his bones are forming. And his heart is beginning to beat. She loved him then. And she loved him when 33 years later, she watched as his heart stopped beating on the cross. Her whole life wrapped up in her son Jesus. And that's true devotion. That your life as a Christian should be wrapped up in Jesus. That you should live as a Christ bearer, nurturing your faith in Jesus, living with Jesus, living in Jesus, living for Jesus. This is the Christmas challenge for all of us, young and old. Not that Christ should physically grow in us as he did in Mary, but that we should grow in Christ, that we should strengthen our faith and renew our determination, that our lives should be wrapped up in him. On the first day, a mighty angel. On the second day, a righteous man. On the third day, a blessed virgin. On the fourth day of Christmas, a glorious Savior. A glorious Savior. Of course, the hero of this story isn't the angel. Nor is it Joseph. Nor is it Mary. The hero of this story is the child to be born. In our passage in Matthew, he is given two names, Jesus and Emmanuel. Jesus for what he does, Emmanuel for who he is, Jesus which means Savior, and Emmanuel which means God with us. And I want us to think just for a few minutes on the first of these, Jesus, Savior, or as the angel tells us, he shall save his people from their sins. I wondered if our world knows this Christmas that its greatest need is not a vaccine, but salvation from its sin. Does it know and understand that without salvation from God through Jesus, there stands only the judgment of God by Jesus? Many foolishly celebrate Christmas with no reference to Jesus and our salvation from sin. What is there to celebrate at all, unless Jesus is the Savior and that he has saved us from our sin? What is there to celebrate about sin itself, about the judgment on sin and the misery sin has brought into the world? What is there to celebrate about wars and death and poverty? Hey, our people must be celebrating some kind of Coca-Cola Christmas, because surely it can't be a Christian Christmas without the message of Christ as our Savior from sin. But with him, Christmas is transformed from a secular festival into a truly joyful celebration. For with the birth of Jesus, God has sent a Savior to save us from our sin. He didn't save us by being born. He saved us by dying. Our salvation doesn't happen in a stable, but on a cross. Not in Bethlehem, but on a small hill outside Jerusalem called Golgotha. On that cross, the Savior born to Mary died for us, bearing the punishment and penalty of our sins. He dealt with them there, and in return, he gave us forgiveness and eternal life. He did not come to save himself. He came to save you. He is a glorious Savior whose sacrifice has been forgiving people for thousands of years and washing all their sins away. Such a man was Mick Fleming from Burnley, a town in the north of England. You may have read about him this week on the BBC website. At the age of 11, Mick was indecently assaulted in a Burnley park. Brought up also in a very troubled home, he became a drug dealer and a gang enforcer. His life was headed in altogether the wrong direction until at the age of, in his early 40s, in 2009, he believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior and he became a Christian. From then on, Mick has devoted his life to telling other people about Jesus. He has become an ordained minister in the English church and is known as Pastor Mick. He works on the street with the homeless, the drug addicts, and the poor. And I'm going to quote now from the BBC website itself, copyright BBC. Pastor Mick has traveled his own road to Damascus from a life of crime to being tested every day by the impact of coronavirus. And I wanted to know what motivates him to keep going. Mick then revealed a staggering story to try and explain why he is at peace with those terrible events of his childhood. 10 years ago, so just after he became a Christian, Mick befriended a homeless alcoholic outside a takeaway. Mick listened to him, cared for him, helped him to get sober, and reunited him with his family. The man died 2 years later, but his family was thankful that they had all been together. And now these are the words of Mick himself. What I never told him or his family or the police was that he was the man who had raped me as a child. Why? I knew that I'd been forgiven for my past. I didn't do what he had done, but still terrible things. But I felt forgiven, and I didn't want to live in his sin. That's why I'm free. I'm not spending my life in torment, Mick writes. It's redemption. Only a Savior
like Jesus could change a man like Mick Fleming into Pastor Mick. A fierce drug enforcer to a forgiver of his abuser. This is the Christian message, the gift of Christmas all rolled into one. The Jesus who changes our lives for the better. I don't care much for the piper's piping, for the Lord's a-leaping, or even for those five gold rings. But I do care for this, forgiveness and transformation. That the guilt of our sin can be removed by faith in Jesus Christ, and that by his Spirit we can change for the better. What then do we need? One thing. Faith in Jesus. And so I close with this. Do you? No. Will you believe in Jesus tonight? For that and that alone will make this a Christmas to remember.
Respond to the good news, Luke 2:8-20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to be to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who had heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Two different responses to the good news from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you find him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Thank you very, very much to Laura for splicing all these things together. Remember, Glasgow City is a family to which we belong, not a place to which we come. And on behalf of the leadership of Glasgow City, we'd like to offer to you the warmest, warmest greetings for this Christmas and a blessed, blessed time. We're going to close now as we sing in Psalm 117. We're going to be singing to the tune Regent Square. We're going to stand to sing and then close with our benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one true and living God, rest and remain with you this Christmas and always. Amen.